In the meantime, Crocker was having shacks for laborers and warehouses for materials constructed along the Truckee River, 20 miles east and considerably below the Donner summit. He would send gangs of workers there when the snows fell in the Sierra to make grade and lay track while waiting for the summit tunnel to be completed. He began with 1,000 men. Another 1,000 soon followed. They started to make grade back toward Donner Pass. On November 5, the CP laid its track to Emigrant Gap, 8 miles west of Cisco, 21 miles west of the summit, and 5,000 feet above sea level. It was now only 2,000 feet or so below the summit. It expected to reach Cisco in 10 days. The tunneling went on up and down the line. Lewis Clement declared, no matter what the cost, the remaining tunnels would be bored in the winter. On November 24, 1866, the first trains arrived at Cisco Station. They were loaded with ties, rails, chairs, fish plates, and measuring rods. It took 3 engines to pull the freight up the mountain. Strobridge had wagons and carts to meet the train, with hundreds of Chinese aboard. All night they loaded rails and the rest onto the wagons and carts. They also pulled 2 locomotives off the tracks and put them atop skid sleds. These were logs split down the middle and rounded at the ends. They were greased with fat on the bottom to help them slide. At dawn, the procession toward the summit began. Carts went first, followed by the wagon train. At the rear, hundreds of Chinese tugged at ropes alongside mule teams and horse teams to skid the locomotives over the summit. And then the snow came. Strobridge put hundreds of Chinese to work doing nothing but shoveling the snow away to keep open a cart trail to the tunnel opening. The Chinese laborers dug snow tunnels from 50 to 500 feet long to get to the granite tunnels. Some were large enough for a team of horses to walk through. Alternatively, a temporary rail bed was placed on top of the snow, and material was lowered from the surface by steam hoist, sometimes as much as 40 feet. The waste was hauled out the same way. Windows were dug out of the snow walls to dump refuse and let in a bit of light. Also chimneys and air shafts. But for the most part, the Chinese worked, ate, drank their tea, gambled, smoked opium, and slept in the remarkable labyrinth they were building under the snow. This was cruel work, dangerous and claustrophobic. Still they pressed on, drilling the holes in the granite, placing the black powder and then the fuse, lighting the fuse, getting out of the way, then going back in to clear out the broken granite at 4 facings. They made 6 to 12 inches a day at each end and toward the 2 ends from the middle. There were accidents of all kinds, mainly from blasting powder. Sometimes the heavy explosions started avalanches, and entire camps of workmen would be buried alive. On Christmas Day, 1866, the Dutch Flat Inquirer reported that a gang of Chinamen were covered up by a snowslide and 4 or 5 died before they could be exhumed. The snow fell to such a depth that 1 whole camp of Chinamen was covered up during the night and parties were digging them out when our informant left. J. O. Wilder, a young surveyor who went on to work for the CP Southern Pacific Railroads for 54 years, wrote, "The cuts were filled by landslides, which had to be removed by gangs of Chinese. A push plow, loaded with pig iron to hold it to the rails, with 3 engines behind, would back up and take a run at the snow and keep going until it got stuck, and then back up and take another run." The plow was a monster, 10 feet wide, 11 feet high, and 30 feet long. It was square and sheer in the rear. In the front, it looked like a big wooden wedge laid on its side, with iron plates reinforcing the forward edge that slanted down almost to the rails. Just back from the forward edge, a sharp iron prow rose, like a ship breasting a wave. The idea was that the wedge should scoop up drifts like a spade, and the prow would part them, tossing snow up onto both sides of the track. Sometimes it worked.